Hi there, and welcome to Let's Slow Down, a podcast for all of you who feel tired and stressed from this overwhelming world. Here we'll have fun, inspiring conversations about living life on our own terms and explore ways to ease the pace of our modern world, because life really is good when you're relaxed enough to be present for it. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Stolting, and I welcome you to this space where I hope to inspire you to slow down, because life is too short to let it go by in a blur. So take a deep breath, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of the Let's Slow Down podcast. Our guest today is Lorena Shoot. Lorena is a self-concept and manifestation coach who supports women in shifting their self-identity and consciously creating the authentic reality their souls came here to experience. Lorena's teachings of deliberate manifestation follow a holistic, embodied, and emotionally integrated approach. After feeling deeply disconnected for most of her life, Lorena eventually realized that she was repeating the same toxic patterns in every area of her life. So many of us can relate to that one. After a severe mental health crisis, she then embarked on a spiritual journey and ultimately learned about manifestation. Yet, traditional manifestation teachings only led her to more frustration, anxiety, and despair. She was fighting her true beliefs, and instead of changing her circumstances, she only felt worse as time went on. Manifestation became a pursuit of control, an ego trip, and a mind management tool that induced more anxiety and frustration than freedom. This wake-up call led Lorena to change her approach completely and develop a uniquely holistic method for conscious manifestation that incorporates body, mind, heart, and spirit. This enabled her to change her self-concept radically and create a reality that is even better than what she had envisioned for herself. It is Lorena's mission to show you that you are not at the mercy of your circumstances. You have power over your life, and you don't have to betray yourself, lie to yourself, deny your true beliefs, or micromanage your emotions in order to create the reality you desire. Wow, Lorena, that bio is amazing. It's so interesting. I can't wait to talk all about it. Welcome to Let's Slow Down.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I kind of have goosebumps, although I know my story.
You should. You should. I did as well as I was reading that, because it's a powerful story, and I can't wait to hear more about it today. Manifestation is a concept that is so interesting to me. I was introduced to it fairly recently when I saw The Secret for the first time and a few other similar documentaries, and I've read a few books since then, and I'm really fascinated by the whole thing. So can't wait to learn more from you today, and I thought it would be a good place to start by just asking you to give us a little insight as to what manifestation is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to. So how I define manifestation is it's the formless brought into form. It's something that at one point didn't exist in the physical that is made physical. So we manifest all the time. We're all manifesting all of the time. And everything that was ever created has been made manifest, right? Like every invention that has ever been made, but also quote-unquote negative things like diseases in the body, they're manifested, right? They come to fruition. That's all that it really means. And how manifestation is often used, and what, you know, you said you watched The Secret recently, which is also was also my first introduction many years ago into manifestation, that tends to have a bit of a woo-woo spiritual connotation. And my approach is also very spiritual, but how we want to use manifestation in general is we obviously want to manifest things that we like rather than constantly experience things that don't align with the life that we envision for ourselves or that we desire. And I think what's important to mention is that when I say we're manifesting all of the time, that primarily originates from our subconscious beliefs, our subconscious patterns. So, for example, the way you see and perceive yourself, that determines the reality you experience. Because if you, let's say, go into a relationship and you feel insecure, that impacts how you show up in that relationship, that impacts your fears, that impacts the things you will talk about, that impacts how anxious you are, right? It goes into things even like your attachment style and how you relate to others. So that has a direct impact on what you'll experience. You're a lot more likely then to experience negative outcomes because you yourself are not confident and secure. So it can be as simple and as grounded as that. But then there's also a lot of magic that can happen, because I'm sure you've heard, if you've kind of gone into the world of manifestation, you've probably heard all of these miracle stories of healings that were completely unexpected, or things happening out of the blue. And that's definitely possible too. And that's the magical thing about it. Everything in life is manifested, and we can really use it to our advantage.
And how powerful our mind really is. I know you mentioned that subconscious, all of our subconscious thoughts and beliefs. And I've read, and the number's different in so many places, you know, documents that I've read, but it could be anywhere from like 80% or more of our thoughts are actually subconscious. So it's like we're not even tapping the surface of what our mind's doing and the power of it, which I find really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there are two elements to this. What you just said, number one, it's not just thought. And I think that's where manifestation is often misinterpreted, because the subconscious doesn't just live in the mind. It also lives in the body. It also lives in your nervous system. For example, you may be holding on to trauma from the past. And that's not just based on thought, but that directly impacts your behavior, that impacts how you feel in certain situations. And it might be completely unconscious. But yeah, the subconscious makes up the bulk of how we show up and what we do. And, you know, if people may be listening to this and are like, well, what does that even mean? And, you know, if they can't really connect it to their belief system or how they live their lives, it's just as simple as imagine someone asks you for your phone number. Everybody kind of knows their phone number, right? And if you enter it into that person's phone, you'll just be using your thumbs to type it or to enter that number. You won't be consciously having to think about what that number is. Or if you've ever, you know, you're driving to work and you're not even noticing what you're driving past and what path you're taking, you just arrive at some point. That's because it's automatic. It's so on autopilot. It's so subconscious. So in a way, that's a really good thing as well. We don't want to consciously have to think about everything we do all of the time, because that would be exhausting. Like, our body is really amazing in that way. But then it also means that the things that we don't want to hold on to, the things that we don't want to believe, the things that we don't want to focus on, they are also there. They are also below the surface, and they are also unconscious, and we're also running on autopilot there.
Definitely. I think that was autopilot was really the inspiration for me starting this podcast and really being just so conscious of trying to slow my life down, because I realized that so much of what I was doing and experiencing was just kind of going through the motions because it was so busy. There was so much, you know, like you said, if our minds have to focus on everything, it becomes exhausted. And I was becoming exhausted because I was focusing on a lot. And then there was also a lot of stuff flying by that I wasn't even able to focus on. And I just was like, I don't even know what's happening anymore. Like, I need to take a huge pause, figure this out, redirect. And I know that you had mentioned that as well. I think I had read it on Instagram where you took this huge pause in your life and it provided a lot of clarity and, you know, you were able to change direction. So can you speak to us about that a little bit?
I've done that many times in my life, actually. I think in the context of my journey, you know, you saw in my story that when I first dove into manifestation, it became like a pursuit of control eventually. And I think that's where some manifestation teachings can be almost harmful, although that's probably not the intention, because it's so focused on the mind and kind of thinking a certain way and feeling a certain way. And we're human. We can't control all of our thoughts. We can't control how we feel. Like, it's good to feel the full spectrum of emotions, but sometimes it can come across as if you don't have certain thoughts or beliefs, then things aren't going to work out for you. And that's kind of the path that I was on at first. I was like trying to control things. I was trying to control my circumstances. I was trying to control my mind, and the mind is too smart for that. I mean, we can keep it in check in a way, but we can't control all of our thoughts, right? That's not the point anyway. And so I had a bit of a breakdown eventually where I realized this is really not working, and I'm feeling worse. Like, this is something that should empower me and that should improve my life, and I actually feel so much more anxious, so much more frustrated. I feel bad about myself. I feel like I am doing something wrong for some reason. And that's when I had to really take a pause and slow down, and I had to find a new way, because I realized the way I had been, you know, approaching things and how I'd been working really hard hadn't really been working. And I think, you know, you are kind of speaking to this just now, how our society is set up for that. Our society is very much go, 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 harder, harder, yeah, harder. And we're just not taught to slow down because it doesn't serve the system when we do.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think we need to be really intentional with it. And ultimately, I mean, the process for manifestation that I teach, it's a very deliberate, intentional process as well. And it also has elements of hard work and action. But ultimately, the moment you receive, the moment things come through and manifest, is when you're surrendered. That is when you're in the nothing. That is when you have slowed down, when you're not being so active. That's when things actually transpire. So I think there's a lot of wisdom in slowing down. And I constantly, I'm very much a person who can go very hard. I'm very determined. If I want something, I'm like, I'm going to go get it. And I do not stop. So I constantly need to remind myself to pause. I can fall into overworking myself and patterns like this. And I constantly need to go, hold on, take a breath, slow down, you know, because that's a pattern that I fall into. So I definitely see the wisdom in it and see the benefit in it.
For sure. It can be so powerful. All of this can. And I love how you said, you called it, that's when you're in the nothing. So talk to us about that, because that place sounds special.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned this, because I actually did a masterclass series last week, and it was all about death and rebirth. And when I speak about the nothing, I speak about this, like, I call it like a death portal. It's like when we have let things go and we have dropped either old habits or old relationships or things where we felt like, in a way, it's not been serving us or our identity or self-concept. And when we're in that place, it's scary. It's even scary to let things go. It's scary to take a leap of faith, you know, whether that looks like someone who really dislikes their career and is like, I'm going to quit this job now, but I don't know what's next, and this is terrifying. Or whether it's getting out of a relationship, or whether it's just, you know, changing, completely transforming a habit or a lifestyle. It's scary because we don't know what's next. We don't know what the future holds. But I believe that in that void space, in that nothingness, that's also where the magic happens, because that's where we have all of the possibilities, all of the potential. If we constantly hold on to how things have been and what we're used to and familiar with, we're never going to grow. We're never going to go through an evolution. And I'm also a big believer in we grow outside of our comfort zone. If we stay in our comfort zone, nothing's ever going to happen. We're just going to repeat the same cycles. So I think, yeah, that process of letting things go and dying to old identities or to old parts of ourselves is very, very necessary. But yeah, then you're in the nothing, and that's where the magic can happen.
And it's so hard, like you said, terrifying to do that, because
so scary.
Oftentimes it's like all we know, or that's how we've been living for a million years. And I have two questions about that. One, this is my personal question. I'm a trained classical musician. So my whole life, since I was like 9 years old, learning how to play the clarinet, it's like you practice so much, so hard, and it gets really, really nitpicky. You know, mm-hmm. like that whole solo could be perfect, but that one note was, you played the right note, but you didn't play it quite in tune enough, or you didn't give it quite enough space around it, or whatever it might be. So, you know, I realized, and I went and pursued this in college, and I still play, that piece of me, you know, where it has helped me grow into a professional musician who doesn't make a lot of mistakes, quote unquote, it has transferred to most other areas of my life. And I can be very critical of myself. I can be very critical of the people around me, very critical of my thoughts. And honestly, I don't mean to be like negative or harsh to people. It just sort of happens because that seems to be how my brain is wired right now. So I'm just using that because that's been a somewhat limiting belief, I think, in my life for a very long time, like decades. So how would somebody like me go about starting to change that after so long?
Yeah, that's a big one. What you're speaking to kind of is what it sounds like, perfectionism, right? It needs to be absolutely perfect. And otherwise, I'm not good enough. And I even like how you notice that it applies, you kind of project it onto other people too. And one of the modalities that I use in my process is shadow work. And shadow work is something, the shadow is something that Carl Jung has that term, I think he coined that. And the shadow refers to an unconscious part of our psyche. So those are the things that we don't want others to know about, what we want to hide, what we reject within ourselves, what we repress, what we deny. And what often happens is when that part of our psyche is not integrated, when we haven't re-owned that, when we don't know how to navigate it, is that we project it onto other people, which then manifests certain outcomes with what you're speaking to now. Like that probably also impacts your relationships because you're not meaning to be negative, but you're automatically critical. And it also impacts your own results, right? Like whether that's in relation to music or anything else, maybe producing this podcast where you might be doing things and you might be critical of yourself and you never get to the end result that you want to get to because you're constantly thinking it could be better, it could be better, you know, on top of what it does for you and how you feel about yourself. And I think that is always the starting point, like working on our self-concept and our relationship to self. And that's where I use shadow work as a modality as well. So I think what you're doing really well here is acknowledging and recognizing where it's showing up and where you are also projecting it out onto other people. Because I think the best way to get started with becoming aware of our shadows is to look at what do I judge in others and what am I jealous of in other people? And that can then teach us what parts of myself I'm rejecting. So there's multiple ways to go about this. So I don't, you know, I can't give like a clear cut answer because it depends on so many other factors in your life and in your psyche. But I would definitely try to build a different relationship with it. So that's number one, seeing the gifts in it and seeing why you are doing it. You know, you already know the source, but what is your intention with it? It might just be something like, I just have high standards and I just want to produce quality work. And then you can start to acknowledge and rewire that maybe it doesn't need to be perfect to be valuable, right? So that is a process that definitely takes time. But that, I think, would be a really good starting point because I think where people often go wrong and this, you know, we're coming full circle here to my story where I realized eventually I don't need to shame myself or the beliefs I have just now. I don't need to suppress them and I don't need to try and flip my thoughts in order to have the quote unquote right mindset or manifest the reality that I want. I can actually do it differently was when I realized if I push things away, if I resist what is happening, how I'm showing up, what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, it's just going to persist. It's just going to stay, right? If I say, oh my God, me being a perfectionist is wrong, and this is a really bad character trait that I have, and what is happening? My focus is fully on that, and I am putting myself down every time it shows up. I can't really let it go because, you know, what you resist persists, right? Like whatever you put your focus on and whatever you push away is actually, you know, like that thing, don't think of a pink elephant. What are you thinking of? You're thinking of a pink elephant, right? So you can't really push it away. So I'm a big believer in building a different relationships to these behavioral patterns, parts of ourselves. And that is a process that really takes time and, in my opinion, also often support, right? Which is why coaching or therapy are really important support systems for people, in my opinion.
For sure. Yeah, that's something that I've learned just as I've gotten older. Like, we don't have to keep everything in our heads. We don't have to do it all by ourselves. There is so much support around us, whether it's formal support or informal support, just by opening up to a friend or just opening up to yourself, like just admitting these things that, you know, there's no shame in just getting what you need from other people and other resources, even if it's, you know, starting with a book or a documentary or something like that, wherever you can learn more about this or whatever it is that you're working on. I feel like somewhere along the way, we feel like we need to do everything on our own. And yeah, that's one approach, but it doesn't have to be that way. And it's usually more fun and more manageable not to, right?
Yeah. It feels so much better when you're not, because I think the biggest desire that we all have is to belong and to be loved and to be supported. And if we don't allow ourselves to receive that support, if we think we need to do everything ourselves, we just keep ourselves isolated. And, you know, I can speak to this directly because I still to this day often find it hard to ask for support, you know, but it's so valuable. And I also, when I think about the times that I have really allowed myself to receive support, be that, you know, asking a friend for help when I moved in like coaching containers, whatever I've been wanting to achieve, I got there so much quicker with help. So it's also like there's an element of it collapses time. Like, even if you could do it on your own, it's going to take you 10 times as long if you try it all on your own.
It does collapse time. I love that. That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that leap of faith that you mentioned too. You know, people who want to make a huge change. You mentioned like quitting that job, not knowing what's next. In that void and in that space, there's so much potential. And I couldn't agree more. It's like we have to sort of close one door before another door can open sometimes, just for our own mental capacity. Like, we can only do so much. So what do you say to the person who is taking that leap of faith or who's thinking about taking that leap of faith and is scared out of their mind? How can manifestation help?
So, yeah, first of all, what you're saying is exactly right. We can keep ourselves mentally blocked, but there's also an energetic component. You know, if we've ever been in a, I was in this place for a few years where I had certain friendships that were actually not aligned anymore. And I wanted nothing more than to make connections, to meet new people, to make friends. And I just wasn't doing that. And why was I not doing that? Because I still had these other people in my field. And it was like my energy was all distracted. And the moment I let go of these friendships, and that was incredibly hard and very painful. Over the last few years, I had a lot of grief in my life, both in terms of death, but then also endings in terms of relationship and friendship breakups. And it was incredibly scary. And the moment I truly let go, literally 2 weeks later, I had new people enter my life. And I'm so grateful and so happy. So there's an energetic component too. Now, when it comes to, okay, if there's somebody listening who's like, I want to quit my job, or I want to take this leap of faith, I want to get out of this relationship, I think it's a bit nuanced. So I don't just want to say, yeah, just quit your job, you know, do something new, because that might not be the right thing for you. I think what's important is that we stretch ourselves past our comfort zone. So where it gets edgy, where it gets scary, but we don't bring our nervous system into collapse. So what I mean by that is, for example, if I want a new career, if I wanted to quit my job, but I don't actually feel safe, if I don't have an income at all, and I am not in this place of trust, then quitting my job and just being in the nothing and just hoping for something to come in, that might create more pressure than actually it might serve you, because now you're in a state of fight or flight. Now your nervous system is in a state of constant activation, survival. You feel like, oh my God, if it's not going to manifest ASAP, I'm not going to have any money. Now, as we as we've just established, what you resist persists. So then when you create that pressure for things to manifest and transpire, nothing's going to show up because suddenly there's a massive attachment and you need it to happen. Things don't come when we need them to happen. They happen when we're open for them to happen. I said happen a lot of times just now. So I think that's where the nuance comes in. If someone is in a place, however, because I do know people, I have worked with people, some of my clients have just been, I'm going to quit this job because now I'm in this place. We did a lot of internal work for them to get to this place of trust. So they were able to go into the unknown and it would still stretch them. There would still be fear, but there was also an immense amount of self-trust that would kind of catch them and enable them to go into the unknown. So that's what I would say where like the nuance definitely comes in. So it's about stretch yourself, stretch your nervous system, you know, where it gets a bit edgy and where you're like, I can't do this, but actually you can. But don't bring it to collapse. Like don't go past your limitations, you know, because that might actually cause more harm than good.
Yeah. And trusting ourselves is so important. I mean, when we say it out loud, like it is a journey because it sounds like, yeah, we, you know, if you don't really think about it, it's like, yeah, I trust myself. But then, okay, well, then why are you doing that? Or why are you doing, or why are you second guessing this? And it's so important. You know, I think that inner work, like I just find, again, like slowing down and kind of going into that quiet space internally has helped me so much on my journey towards inner peace and just settling things down, settling those thoughts and that energy. I like that you have mentioned that because a lot of us, I know me, thinks of manifestation as really as thinking thoughts. And you have reminded us that it is physical. It is energetic. There's so many other elements to it. And that's our whole selves, right? Like we're not just our thoughts. We have other components and it's the whole picture.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always like to say that what really manifests our reality is not our thoughts. There's the saying, right? I think they might even say it in The Secret. I haven't seen this film in like a year, in like a decade, but it's, you know, a lot of people will say thoughts create reality, right? You know, be careful of what you think, like where you put your focus, where you put your energy. But I like to say what really manifests your reality is your entire state of being. That includes your mindset. Yeah, it includes the way you think. It also includes the state of your nervous system, because if your nervous system is more in a state of balance and regulation, it's a lot easier for you to have certain thoughts, right? Like if you're in a constant state of activation, you're not going to think positively and it's actually going to create more tension to have certain thoughts. It's also about things that you're maybe holding on from the past, right? That's where the heart comes into play, the emotional component. Maybe you're carrying pain from your past. It's really hard to then rewire your mindset from that place. Like you need to do some deeper emotional work then. And then lastly, I also think there is a big spiritual component, right? There is like an element of magic and we don't really know how it all works. And that connection to the divine, God, the universe, consciousness, whatever we want to use, even nature, that is really another piece, right? The awareness that we're not just our ego. We're not just this physical shell. We're not just that.
Yeah, we're part of something so much bigger.
Yeah. And exactly what part of it, we are not it, you know, we are it, but we're also just part of it. So there's so much that goes into it. And I think saying, oh, like just focus on your thoughts and flip your thoughts or change your thoughts. It's a very limited perspective because we're so much more than just our thoughts.
Sure. Sure. And that nervous system, like you said, is a huge part of it and affects every single thought that we have.
Absolutely.
What are some of your favorite ways to really regulate that and calm it down?
Yeah, so I'm a really big fan of Kundalini yoga. I'm a really big fan of, I'm also certified in teaching that. It's one of my favorite modalities. And also just the breath, you know, just the breath movement is great. But overall, I think what's a lot more important is, and this is again why this journey is so individual, why it's not just You know, because often when you look at nervous system regulation and you can find a lot of information and tools online, and that's all fantastic, it all works, but it depends on your nervous system, right? Depending on what your nervous system is like, different tools will work for you. So for example, if I'm in a state of activation, because my nervous system, if I'm activated, I tend to go high, high, high. I tend to go into frustration, more like a fight response, right? Like resistance. Whereas other people might slow down and they might freeze and they might go into people pleasing or fawning. And if I get activated and I have all this energy circulating through my system, actually slowing down in that moment or meditating is the worst thing I can do because I have this activation in my system and it's just going to activate me more. Whereas somebody who is a bit slower in their being and when they get activated, it more slows down their system. For them, it's maybe just something like deep breathing. So it is a bit nuanced. And I think the best thing you can do is really become aware of how you're reacting, what your triggers are, what is happening in each moment and how your body reacts to certain circumstances or people sometimes as well, or thoughts.
Yeah, that gut, listening to your gut and going with your intuition, it provides us with so much guidance and wisdom. But we have to just be in a space of being aware of that, like you said, because for so long, I think most of us have been programmed to just push through like, okay, yeah, I am tired today. I'm not feeling that great. Well, I still have 8 million things on my list and I'm not canceling these appointments and I'm just going and kind of shoving that deeper down and like just not dealing with it. It's going to catch up eventually and is also going to affect the way that you go all day long. So
absolutely. Definitely been there even fairly recently. And I think that might be the post from Instagram you were possibly referring to where like I almost hit burnout because I can do that. I can forget, you know, we constantly need to remind ourselves. I can forget about even the things I teach and I need to remind myself, keep myself in check and, you know, have my own mentors and coaches to support me because my brain does things and I forget the very things that are deeply embedded in my being and that I'm actually aware of. And yeah, it's hard because we get all these messages constantly from the outside. And so what we have to deal with in order to truly reprogram our subconscious is not just the stuff from the past that we're holding on to, but also what we're confronted with on a daily basis. So it's definitely, you know, you said, I think it was before we started recording, you said it's ongoing, you know, it's never ending. And yes, it is. And sometimes that can feel like defeating. It can feel like, oh my God, I need to do this forever. But it's actually really beautiful because it just means you're going through this continuous evolution. And that's a beautiful gift that we as humans have. You know, we're the only species on the planet that has this desire for self-actualization. And so I think let's use it, you know, let's be balanced with it, but let's do it.
Totally. I love that. It's true. And we are humans. We have to give ourselves that grace too, that, yeah, you're not going to be perfect at it all the time. And that's okay. And you can still enjoy the journey. Yes. I'm saying this, you know, saying this for a friend, but totally telling myself. But there's so much beauty that we can enjoy along the way and, you know, fulfilling experiences that do not need to be perfect. And I think a lot of times the best ones aren't perfect. Sometimes the most fun is when like something goes awry and you know, it's not the way you planned, but you can just accept it, laugh about it, have fun with it anyway. And those are like the memories. That's the stuff that you're like, remember when that happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we also can find so much beauty in the mundane, right? We don't remember.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if you've ever read this book or heard of this book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. I think it's not very well written. So it's not like an amazing read, but like the message stands, you know, I don't know what the top 5 regrets are by heart, but it's no one said, I wish I worked more, right? Everybody was like, I wish I spent more time with loved ones. Yep. I wish I'd started that business. I wish I did the thing that scared me. I wish I allowed myself to be happier. No one's like, I'm so glad. I've been working my whole life and I've been, you know, doing all this overtime. Nobody says
exactly.
that.
Because yeah,
at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What matters is like the little things in life and the connections we make and, you know, the smell of the rose on our walk outside. And those are really the things that bring us joy.
100%. You're so much fun to talk to. Thank you. This has been a real treat. Why don't we kind of close with something that you're enjoying right now to slow down? Like, what's your favorite way to slow down right now?
I think my favorite way to slow down right now is two things, actually. The thing that I do in the moment is to dance. If I notice myself being in my head, because I can get very much in my head or in work mode, and I just put on my playlist and I don't move and I let my body move. And the other thing that is more like a consistent, sustainable thing that I need to learn still is to this phone, to leave it somewhere else and to not be on it and to not take it into the bedroom, because that has such a big impact on my mental health when I'm like scrolling in the morning or something. So that is another thing that's really helping me to slow down, not being on that.
Love it. Amen to that. I think we could all take a page out of your book with that one, because we are just tied to that thing. Yeah, it is hard. It is so hard. And I love that you mentioned dancing. And, you know, music, obviously I'm a musician. I love music. I love how it makes us all feel. We can really change so much very quickly through music. I find that that's the quickest way for me to really change my thoughts. If I'm stuck, you know, and I put a song on and I can completely change my mood and my energy. And actually, interestingly, tomorrow's podcast episode, we're recording this a few weeks before this one's going to come out, but tomorrow's episode is about a song. It's about Connection by One Republic. And he talks about getting out of autopilot and needing human connection, getting off the phone, all that stuff. So it's so, if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to it. It's a little aired a few weeks ago. But the power of music and dancing and that energy is so great and something that we always have at our fingertips to, you know, at our ears, at our disposal to tap into.
Singing as well. Like there's a lot of healing in just like using our voice too, you know, like chanting is very powerful. So yeah, I love that. Music is a big thing. It impacts our nervous system.
Awesome. Awesome. Lorena, thank you for being here. I'll put everything in the show notes, but can you tell everybody where to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the two best places where to find me are Instagram and YouTube. And it's just my name, Lorena Schut. Schut is S-C-H-U-T-H, but you have it in the show notes anyway. And I'm not sure if I sent this to you already, but I also have a free guidebook. It's all around holistic manifestation. So it's a lot of the topics we dove into today. There's some practices in there. It's a pretty good overview. So that's also a really good resource to dive into. And and I also love people messaging me, you know, if anybody wants to learn more, then I'm so available on Instagram. It's not like a thing that, you know, some people you can't message. They're kind of like unapproachable. I'm not. You can approach me.
Awesome. Yay. Thank you. I will be checking out your guide for sure. So interesting. I'd love to learn more from you. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and have been inspired to slow down and start living life at your own pace. As a brand new podcast, your listener voice matters. If Let's Slow Down is resonating with you, please take a minute to leave a review and rate us. Subscribe to the show wherever you listen and share it with friends. Remember, this is a process, so go easy on yourself. Be gentle and take all the space you need to thrive, because the world needs you to be at your best, to love and serve others and yourself.